Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And on a side note, congratulations to all the graduates out there. I know the last few weekends have become college graduation weekends, so congrats to all of the graduates as well as all of the parents of the graduates. I've been there. I will be there. So enjoy your time. This is a major life chapter that you're about ready to enter, a new one, new life chapter, I should say. And under these circumstances, it won't be one you forget. So congrats to everybody. And no matter what, I hope you had some time to watch some new films, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a bit. But first, it's been quite a week because there is a college graduation weekend happening this weekend in my house because of Mrs. Soci, not because of Emma, Earlham College. And so it's been a busy week for all of us. And my allergies decided to show up and just beat the living daylights out of me. So this is how it sounds. I apologize in advance. But we will get to, like I said, your picks in just a moment. But I want to start the show by raising a glass to Charles Grodin, one of the actor, director, writer, talk show host, political commentator, and one of the masters of deadpan and the deadpan look. Going back, I mentioned all of the credits that he's already done. Going back to his film work, one of his noted early films from 1964, Sex and the College Girl, and of course played a pivotal role as the doctor, as Dr. Hill in Rosemary's Baby. Catch 22, and really kind of took off with The Heartbreak Kid. Never forget, this is the original. Nobody needs the remake. 11 Harrow House. Yes, he was in King Kong and Thieves and Heaven Can Wait and Real Life. That's another one I need to revisit, is the early Albert Brooks mockumentary of documentary filmmaking of cameras all invading the house of a normal American family. Sunburn, It's My Turn, Seems Like Old Times, Incredible Shrinking Woman, yes, Great Muppet Caper, Lonely Guy, Woman in Red, Last Resort, Movers and Shakers, yes, he was in Ishtar and The Couch Trip and You Can't Hurry Love. But the for me, the cinematic high point of Charles Grodin's career is playing Jonathan Mardoukas in Midnight Run. Talk about your odd couple action comedies with Grodin and Robert De Niro. One, De Niro got to do comedy, which he was not able to do a whole lot at that time, because the last time, 5 years prior, was The King of Comedy, and that did not do well financially. But it's fun watching these two banter. This was a film, the summer I graduated high school, 1988, and this and A Fish Called Wanda were the two films that if somebody had not seen it, I grabbed their hand and said, let's go see it. And I wound up doing this several times. I think I saw Midnight Run and Fish Called Wanda like six times in the theater that summer. So that's, with a friend like me, why not? So I enjoyed Midnight Run. And to this day, I got to show it to Emma last year at the beginning of the pandemic, the beginning of the quarantine. So that was fun. She enjoyed it. And then 1990, appeared in Taking Care of Business, and then started appearing in the Beethoven films and Clifford and not the best stuff and The X. And yeah, he had a good part in Dave, had one great scene as he's listed as commandeered driver in So I Married an Axe Murderer, Heart and Souls, It Runs in the Family. Took some time off to do some writing and political commentary on TV. One of the last really fine scenes, moments he had, was playing the father in Noam Baumbach's While We're Young. In his last two credits, The Comedian and An Imperfect Murder. So salute to Charles Grodin. Thank you for just looking at us with a deadpan look and responding silently, no matter how much it bugged us. So salute to Charles Grodin. Okay, going to what I watched this week, and then we'll find out what's at the drive-in and what's streaming, and then we'll get to your portion. A film from Romania was sent my way called Two Lottery Tickets, and it's a kind of a sad sack tale of three guys, one of which, the saddest of the sad sacks, who is down on his luck. He's in debt. He's trying to get his wife back, who's moved to Italy with a man with questionable business practices, and gets talked into putting in numbers for a lottery ticket by one of his friends. There's the irrational one and the rational one, because you have to have that in a three-person wacky comedy. This is not that wacky. But as he put the ticket in, and then he is harassed by a couple of thugs who takes his fanny pack. Yes, he has a fanny pack. I think they call it a bum bag or a butt bag in this film. And what happens is they win. They match the numbers, but the ticket is in the bag that was stolen from him. So we go through a very episodic scenes of going door to door, asking if they've seen these two young punks that took this poor man's bag. And despite the film being, under 80 minutes, it still feels padded with moments like this. And they drop the ball on one aspect. There is there's a couple that they talk to. There's a little girl that doesn't open the door to strangers, even though minutes later she does. That didn't help. And they accidentally show up in the apartment of two prostitutes, which becomes a plot point. But prior to that, they go to a drug dealer's apartment. They think they're being the residents think they're being shagged down. They are not. A joint is offered. They refuse. The three guys refuse. But they do take some cake. But no side effects. You could have added to that, and but they kind of dropped the ball on that. So so we go along with these three guys, and it helps that it's this short, even though, like I said, there is padded moments like going door to door. There's a moment where they pick up a young female hitchhiker. A guy wrote this. And then 5 minutes later, when they get into one of the major Romanian towns, she is immediately recognized by her ex and is picked up, literally picked up and dragged away. And that just added 5 minutes to the film that nobody needed. So, and there is a bit of a sad sack ending, which I don't want to give away, but there's a couple nice moments. You could say this had three small endings as opposed to three Lord of the Rings size endings. And it works out okay, but the padded feeling of the film doesn't help. So kind of a mixed bag for the Romanian film, Two Lottery Tickets. Going through some stuff on video, Arrow Video has three new titles of three older titles, two older titles and one from last year worth checking out. One I had not revisited in a long time. And looking back at the pandemic, I could see why. Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys is now out on Arrow Blu-ray. Of course, this is the futuristic film starring Bruce Willis, Madeline Stowe, first Academy Award nomination for Brad Pitt. And then coming off the bench, David Morris, Christopher Plummer, and Frank Gorshin. Way to go on casting Frank Gorshin in a major picture like this. Willis is sent back in time by a government agency to stop a virus and the army that launches it. See, now that's why. I was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to plop down and watch 12 Monkeys last year like I would plop down Contagion, which apparently a lot of you did. And so it's Terry Gilliam's camera, that kind of uncomfortable camera focus, and his version of time travel, low budget for Gilliam standards, science fiction time travel story that still holds up. Bruce, this is back when Bruce Willis looked like he cared working on this. Madeline Stowe is fine. And Brad Pitt, like I said, he got his first Academy Award nomination for this, Best Supporting Actor, because he got to be the unhinged son of a very, very wealthy businessman played by Plummer. And he gets more to do in this than just be pretty. He gets to be unhinged, and he revels in it. So, yeah, it was good to revisit 12 Monkeys. And even when we get to the climax, which ties in Bruce Willis's character then and now, and it was fine. It didn't bother me. It wasn't the end of Contact or the George Clooney film, The Midnight Man, that came out last year. So good to revisit 12 Monkeys. Again, his follow-up, I believe, after The Fisher King. So that is out on Arrow Blu-ray, as well as a Japanese comedy I had not seen before called Giants and Toys. And it's about two college friends who are now on rival companies, candy companies, in this case a caramel that they're trying to sell. This is Japan in 1958. And one of the companies is in bad shape, and they wind up with a new ad campaign featuring an unsophisticated 18-year-old girl with a gap with a big Lauren Hutton between her front teeth, and becomes the face of the company, and it becomes a huge hit. And so the one of the schlubs who's working on this campaign not only has to deal with his best friend, who's in a rival company, but his girlfriend, who also works for the rival company. And this film has been compared to a lot of the Frank Tashlin corporate comedies of the 50s, films like The Girl Can't Help It, Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter, Hollywood or Bust, those kind of pictures. And I could see that to a certain degree, Billy Wilder's The Apartment, as far as poking at the corporate world where everybody looks the same, dresses the same, work the same. And so it and also the fact that my daughter and I have been revisiting Mad Men for her third time around. So it works well, and it moves at a pretty good pace, and some funny stuff even in the late 50s as far as the impact that an ad camp advertising has on us, the consumer. So look for Giants and Toys from Arrow Video, and probably the best of the lot that I didn't see coming is a 2020 black-and-white independent film called A Ghost Waits, and from writer-director Adam Stovall. First off, you get immediately the old-school psychedelic announcement of our feature presentation. It stars McLeod Andrews. If you're a fan of Dr. Sleep, you'll recognize him. He's a handyman that's assigned to renovate a house where the tenants keep leaving quickly and unexpectedly, and we later find out that the apartment is haunted by a ghost named Muriel, played by Natalie Walker, who's got a real human corpse bride look to her. And what happens is the film is smart in using its in some of the horror camera tricks as far as the ghost's point of view and Jack's point of view, as well as some of the camera trickery when it comes to haunted house films and ghost films. And it's a ghost film that I'll put it this way. Many, many years ago, I got to review for Nuvo. There was only a handful of full-page reviews I got to do filling in for Ed Johnson on at Nuvo. And one of those was a 2005 romantic comedy called Just Like Heaven. This is the one where the ghost of Reese Witherspoon and not-dead person Mark Ruffalo wind up occupying the same apartment. And I remember describing it as Ghost Meets the Goodbye Girl. And you could say that is A Ghost Waits, but it's more it's a cheaper, independent, shorter, and better version of that pitch. The fact that we have this man and this being, this female ghost, who are there to do a job. And that's the other thing that as I was watching some of the features on this, I think we're used to ghosts having to be cursed and stuck in their house. And in this case, for the Muriel character, she is assigned to this. And yes, we get a boss and a coworker on the ghost side. And it's very fun. And some nice, charming, low-key chemistry between the two actors. This was shot around Cincinnati, so I, of course, was a sucker for his character wearing a King Records shirt. But it's sweet and dark, and it finds a right balance of almost turning into a rom-com, but not quite, and almost turning into a horror film, but not quite. I mean, it has some horror elements, but it's not scary and it's not squishy, and it's got a nice balance in between. So look for A Ghost Waits. And yeah, there's also, actually, I forgot, there's also, you know, there's a dream that Jack has where he is at a bar and the bartender is himself, which seems like a slight homage to The Shining, which was fun because this actor, McLeod Andrews, was in Dr. Sleep. So yeah, look for Ghost Waits from Arrow Blu-ray. Also on IndiePix, a very cool documentary from 2019 called Peace, Peace, P-E-A-C-E, P-I-E-C-E, The Immersive Poems of Mandy Kahn. And this is one of those that I enjoy from director Courtney Sell. The documentary where you get to see the artists making their craft. In this case, her process of peace-oriented poems emerged with classical music, as well as conducting small but very attentive audience members in vocals, in reciting. Nice, really cool interaction. We get to see her story a little bit, as well as her process of working with others, all leading up to a climax performance at the Getty Center in Los Angeles. So I'm a sucker for documentaries about artists and their process, and this definitely hits the sweet spot. So look for Peace, Peace, The Immersive Poems of Mindy Kahn from IndiePix. Also out there from Film Movement is a hard film to watch from Taiwan called Nina Wu, about a struggling actress who gets her big break, and it's in a spy thriller which contains nudity, a sex scene with two men, and it's all run by a tyrannical director. And we think Hollywood has problems with the casting couch and other things. It's things are tough all over, we'll put it that way. The film shows the competitiveness of getting a role in a film, as well as just the unspeakable things that directors and producers will do. This is not a fun film to watch, but it's very powerfully done. Kudos to the lead actress, and I can't butcher the name. I will feel awful, but she is the actress, and the character are put through the ringer on this one, dealing with everything from press conferences of inane questions. She was living in a small country town with a theater company and then went to the big city to make it big. Her mother has a heart attack, has to go back to the small town. An old friend of hers who is also a working actress and more than a friend, that sidebar pops up and that works. But then we get back to, and we get flashbacks on what she had to do in order to get the role that she is now struggling to film. And the final moment is just a kick in the chest. So if you want to see the exploitation of actresses in show business, and it's not just in Hollywood, check out the 2019 film from Taiwan called Nina Wu, available from Film Movement. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Let's get to some of the events happening at a couple theaters and a couple drive-ins. And by the way, just another note, the film Cruella is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. I didn't see it. I heard about the length of the film. There you go. All right, at IU Cinema, a special virtual event on Tuesday the 25th at 7 p.m. is IU 2020 Part 4. Tuesday, June 1st through Friday, June 4th, the 1934 musical Zuzu. Tuesday, June 1st at 7 o'clock, Princess Tam Tam from 1935. And Thursday, June 3rd, a special virtual event at 7 o'clock, Happy Birthday, Josephine Baker. All of that happening over at IU Cinema. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Indiana, Friday night at 7, it depends on when you're listening to this, Friday at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m., 1975's Best Picture winner, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Friday and Saturday, May 28th and 29th, Back to the Future. Tuesday, June 1st at 10 a.m., Despicable Me. And Friday and Saturday, June 4th and 5th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., the 1950s A Star is Born. All happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In. Oh, here we go. On Screen 1, Jaws and Jurassic Park, for you Spielberg fans out there. On Screen 2, Those Who Wish Me Dead and Wrath of Man. Screen 3, Spiral and the Djinn. And Screen 4, wow, okay. There are two screenings of Raya and the Last Dragon. The 9:15 one is sold out, but you can still check it out at 11:35 and 1:30 a.m. at the Skyline Drive-In. Or at the Tibbs Drive-In. over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville on Monday the 21st. Starting at 6 o'clock, Airplane and the Naked Gun. Saturday the 22nd, The Silence of the Night. Several silent movies happening there. Wednesday the 26th, Phantasm and Brain Damage. And Wednesday, June 23rd, I'm Still Intrigued, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie and Cutting Class on Wednesday, June 23rd. The Silence of the Night on Saturday starting at 6 o'clock, Nosferatu and Phantom of the Opera. So all of that. And is there a live organ accompaniment? Yes, there is. So over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. All right, friends, grab a pencil. It's time to talk about what you've been watching this week. Nothing on Twitter. We jump to Facebook, and we start with Adam, who writes, "The Paper Tigers and also Another Pair of Aces." Brock writes, "Sound of Metal, Hook, Tree of Life, Return of the Jedi, and The Birdcage." Austin Thomas Glidden, Medium Cool Podcast. Check that out. The Get Together, The Chaser, and First Reformed. And I believe his episode on First Reformed is now up. So go check that out. And of course, always check out the Film Yap and the Midwest Film Journal. Kathy writes, Pool Hall Junkies and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Andrew writes, Croupier. Hello, Clive Owen. Joshua writes, Greenland. Tiffany writes, Fried Green Tomatoes, Shawshank Redemption, Shimmer Lake, and Mystic River. Krista writes, the new Criterion reissue of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I want to get that one too, Krista, so cool on that. Eric writes, The Last Picture Show. Rebecca writes, Indie Film Fest, Holler, It's Gonna Be Fine, and Teddy Out of Tune, and About a Dozen Shorts. Mike writes, The Millers versus the Machines, and The Land Before Time. Rachel writes, The Santa Fe Trail. Mario writes, Blazing Saddles. Joni had a Woody Allen double feature, Wonder Wheel and Cafe Society. Doug writes, Moneyball. Jonathan writes, Point Blank and Black Legion. Britt informs me we're still binging on Game of Thrones, but did watch Princess and the Frog, Aladdin, Aladdin Return of Jafar, and Aladdin and the King of Thieves. Thank you there, Britt. Continuing on, Dustin writes, Strangers on a Train, Summertime, the original Fame, the TV movie from 2001, Conspiracy, and Nebraska. Carrie writes, been watching Riff Tracks a lot, so The Stranger Calls Twice and Dreamscape. Okay. Robin writes, Night of the Hunter. Yes, they do abide. That's always a film I put on whenever it's Halloween and the kids are trick-or-treating, because I want to see if anybody catches it. Chris Lloyd of the Film Yap, Cruella, Dream Horse, The Dry, and Big Fish. Melissa writes, Cruella and The Woman in the Window. Carrie writes, PBS's Dorothy Lange, Grab a Hunk of Lightning, One Day University's An Evening with Leonardo da Vinci, and Money, Art, and Uneasy Alliance. Advance information for summer lesson planning, but very good all the same. Thank you, Carrie. Mike writes, The Open House on Netflix. Missy writes, Your Highness. Great cast, horrible movie. The Chosen, a Peacock series, and finally got around to Rocket Man. Chris writes, Promising Young Woman, deemed it excellent. Abby writes, been on a documentary bend again. Athos was a good one about a Greek island that is autonomous Republic of Eastern Orthodox monks. Thank you, Orthodox monks. Doug writes, Spellbound, The Postman Always Rings Twice, Devi, Mr. Hobbs Takes a Vacation, Ride the High Country, good Peckinpah, and Walk on the Wild Side. Sean writes, Greenland. Diana writes, The Woman in the Window, basically Rear Window for most of the plot. Things Seen and Heard, Something I Wish I Hadn't, and Greenland made up for the other two. James writes, Big Trouble in Little China. Taylor writes, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Some Like It Hot, After the Thin Man, and A Midsummer Night's Dream, the Kevin Kline, Michelle Pfeiffer, Stanley Tucci version. That is a good one, Taylor. Lou writes, Point Blank and a couple of Film Fest documentaries and he recalls it, the Angelina Jolie Fire Jumper movie. Joshua writes, I just finished Those Who Wish Me Dead, a.k.a. Angela Jolie Fire Jumper movie. And apparently there's a Hoosier connection with the screenwriter and author of the original book from Bloomington and graduated from IU. Thank you, Joshua and Lou. Thomas writes, Field of Dreams and The Man from Utah. Don writes, Lion King, the Favreau live-action version, well, sort of live-action version, and three M. Night Shyamalan films, After Earth, The Happening, and The Visit. Adam writes Tax Collector and Beach Bum. Richard writes Tenet, and then, whoa, W-H-O-A, exclamation point. Frank also watched that one. Gary writes J-Men Forever, Aina, hope I'm saying it right, All About Eve, Spectre, Attack from Space, and Evil Brain from Outer Space. Okay, Mark, I caught him once in NYC, maybe 10 years ago. I think he's talking about a musician, and it just popped up on the film chat. It happens. Daniel writes, The Spirit of St. Louis, The Dance of the 41, The Morning After, Cabaret, Ed Wood, Halston, The Woman in the Window, Law of Desire, and On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. Mark writes, The Terminal, and then in parentheses, A Case of Terminal Optimism. Thank you, Mark. Jay writes, for some reason, I watched Seven Chinese Brothers starring Jason Schwartzman. Funny, but meandering and incredibly pointless. Eric writes, finally got to Criterion's My Darling Clementine, which I bought last year. Eric, it happens, man. I got a stack of movies I have not even touched, and I can't remember the oldest one that's in the lot. Blight Spirit from 1945 and The Bourne Identity. Rachel writes, Blade Runner. Richard writes, does opera on a video screen count? It's never stopped anybody. I've watched Don Giovanni, Der Rosenkavalier, pardon my German, and Boris Godunov the past week. Tracy Forner, got to get Tracy on the show again. L.A. Confidential for about the 20th time. Proof of Life, first time. Lords of Dogtown, 40th time. And Into the Wild, about the 15th time. Tracy, thank you for your film accounting. Terry writes, Rock and Roll High School, My Sex Life or How I Got Into an Argument, and Force of Evil. Jose writes, Here Today. Molly writes, The Prom, The Festival, Zootopia, Dinosaur 13, and The Great Muppet Caper. Jeffrey writes, Fargo, Living in Oblivion, and North by Northwest. Matt Williams writes, No Title Needed, and it's a picture of Lee Van Cleef as Angel Eyes in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Monica writes Spartacus. Yes, she does like movies about gladiators. Joe writes Mountain Men, The Horse Soldiers, Philomena, Angels and Demons, Airstrike, Layer Cake, and The Next 3 Days. Michelle writes Lord of the Rings Trilogy. It's still ending. Walter writes Romeo and Juliet, the original one, and in quote, old one. I'm assuming you mean the one with Leslie Howard and Norma Shearer, Walter, one where Juliet is, I believe, 40 and Romeo is 50. That's always fun. JD writes Tenet. Mason writes The Lodger, The Lady Vanishes, and Minority Report. Sean writes Wise Blood and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Simone writes, I just watched Wild at Heart for the first time. Whoa. And finally, Bill writes, I've recently watched a double feature of La Strada and Airport 77. There was a strange parallel between the way Anthony Quinn treated Julieta Messina, and Lee Grant treating Christopher Lee. Good observation there, Bill. Strange double feature there, Bill, but always good to see you. Online there. Anyway, and there you go, friends. That's it for this week. So that's what you've been watching. Hope you got some ideas, some inspirations. I got a stack of movies. Someday I'll get to them, but sometimes they just wind up in the mail. So I hope you are finding new films, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. If you're going to see films in the cinema, I hope you're being safe. Hope everybody around you is being safe. And someday I'll get to a theater to review something. We will see. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!